You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. Commentator Gary Joyner puts old-fashioned pen to paper this week with a comment on letter writing.
Most people think of history, when they think of it at all, as a grand sweeping epic filled with emperors and kings, nations and empires, wars and revolutions, or perhaps people struggling for freedoms of one type or another. This is all certainly correct. There is another, gentler type of history, sometimes elegantly written, sentimental, and flowery, or terse and businesslike. Old family letters and diaries and journals often yield huge amounts of information, not only about the person writing the document or the family member or friend receiving it, but often about the time in which it was written. One needs to look no farther than the beautiful prose written between John and Abigail Adams, which most often began, by each writer, with, "My dearest friend." Both penned letters of happenings at home and abroad, affairs of state and the affairs of their family. Separated by colonies, states, or continents, the letters form a rich tapestry of the lives of this educated, devoted couple during the long span of their adult lives. Sometimes letters are found that tell volumes in their brevity. Jeff Morgan, a private in Lincoln's 35th Texas Cavalry, wrote his wife Amanda several letters during the Red River Campaign in 1864. The letters, often less than a page, were written after he had contracted measles and was nearly light-blinded. On March 23rd, he told her that he loved her, that he was on foot, and that he had not heard from her, and that he was out of clothes. He requested that she send him a pair of drawers, underwear. He never received them. He died in May at Alexandria from complications of the measles. The young attorney Fletcher Bell escaped the great yellow fever epidemic of Shreveport in 1873. He broke the quarantine around the stricken town and made his way to Marshall, Texas, where he picked up a train and was in St. Louis 3 weeks later. He managed to see his fiancée, who was near Marshall, at a farm. After the fever abated, Bell returned to Shreveport and became one of the most prominent judges in the city's history. He fought lynching, became an advocate of due process, and perhaps most significantly, was an early advocate of civil rights during the height of arch-conservatism Bourbonism. In 1911, he appeared on stage with Booker T. Washington when Washington came to Shreveport on a speaking tour. Judge Bell's presence gave an air of legitimacy to Washington's presence. 4 years later, after the judge's death, Washington returned and spoke to a crowd of 10,000 people. Judge Bell changed Shreveport. How do we know he got out of Shreveport during the epidemic? How do we know how his personal thoughts changed? He wrote letters to his fiancée, who later became his wife. His family kept and cherished the correspondence across several generations. They remain a tremendous archive, not only of people who put their thoughts down with pen in hand, but of turbulent times in our history. Will future generations know about this in such great detail? Sadly, letter writing and journal writing seem nearly extinct. We are too busy to commit our thoughts to paper. Today's world of technology is with email, tweeting, and Facebook, and it's all about instant gratification. And that makes me wonder if future generations will know that our history matters.
Commentator Gary Joyner writes a history lesson for us each week at 7:35. He's a history professor at LSU Shreveport, and you can find his previous commentaries on our website at redriverradio.org.